It's what we've been talking about, the idea of going forward. And last week, we talked about the idea that Isaiah says, look, darkness covers the earth and total darkness the peoples, but the Lord will shine over you and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your radiance. And we talked about this season, the first thing we needed to focus on was light. And last week, told you that Dwayne had a special light that he allowed me to borrow. And I've only used it a few times, but if you notice, I'm not limping quite as much. And it's a light you can't see. But you shine it. Wait, how do you shine something you can't see? You point it in the direction of the injury. And you can feel it's there when it's happening. But you can't see it. You just see the results of it. That's what Isaiah is talking about. The light that he sent into the world, people can't see Jesus, but they can see a loaf of bread. They can see an attitude of gratitude. They can see the idea that you are greatly blessed and highly favored. You know, that's light. That's what the first week was about. The second week, if you want to open your Bible to Mark chapter 1, he says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will preserve your way. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were flocking to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. John wore a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. He was preaching, someone more powerful than I will come. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The second thing is change. You have light, and light changes everything. The light that I received last week from Dr. Dwayne has changed the way I've walked. It literally changed my step. John is saying that's what happens. See, we want to stay with the baptism of John, the repentance of sin, and feel good. But John says it's not about that. It's not just about that. Yes, you have to repent. Yes, you have to be baptized. All those things. He says, but Jesus is more than that. It's what we talked about a few months ago, the difference between 211 and 212. It's moving, changing hot water into power at 212. He says, when you are baptized with the Spirit, change takes place. Those things that you could never do, you will do. Those things that you could never understand, you will understand. And as Revelation said this morning, you might be sorry you understand them now, but you will understand them. The idea of what changes people is what this is about. This week, in about four more days, we're going to be celebrating the day that will live in infamy. And coming in this morning, we were able to hear one of the pilots, the book written 30 seconds over Tokyo, one of the pilots who was in that mission. There were 16 planes, five people in each plane. They were not going to be able to take off and because of the weather. They were going to, they now understand what change is. These are men that were going to launch a bombing mission on Japan. See, Japan attacked because they knew there's no way we could attack back. There's no way. We don't have the refueling capabilities like we have today. And so they knew it couldn't happen. And the small planes we had couldn't reach Japan from an aircraft carrier. But this man was on an aircraft carrier called the Hornet. And they were larger planes. And they had enough fuel to accomplish their mission. They just didn't have enough fuel to get back. They knew when they took off, they couldn't return. They were going to, the plan was, they were supposed to get close enough that they could do their mission, and there was one little spot in China that was friendly territory. They would have enough fuel to do their mission and land in that spot in China. Refuel and then go to safe territory or back to the ship. Well, the fog lifted and they saw a Japanese ship. And they knew it was now or never. The first man to his plane was Jimmy Doolittle. And they took off. They came over. The man said, the loudspeaker, the one MC. It's the loudspeaker on a ship. Yeah, everybody, get to your planes, take off now. And they took off. They knew the original plan was they didn't have enough fuel to get back to the ship, but they would land in safe territory. Now, everything changed. They don't have enough fuel to get to China. And they went anyway. All 16 planes were lost. This particular man, where they bailed out, not everybody, but everybody had to bail out before they could land because they ran out of fuel. Not everybody went down in our enemy territory, but they did, and they were captured. And he said, I was brought in for interrogation. He said, and they call them judges, interrogators. He said, the man said to me, you are lucky. I am the kindest judge in all of China. He said, and he started asking me questions. He said, and I told him, I will tell you nothing. He said, did you come from a ship named the Hornet? I will tell you nothing. He said, was the leader of your group named Jimmy Doolittle? He said, I will tell you nothing. He said, and he pulled out his sword. He said, tomorrow morning, he said, I'm going to cut your head off. And they took him back to his cell. And he said, one of the guards asked him, he said, what are you thinking about right now? He said, I'm thinking about how lucky I am to be able to have my head cut off by the kindest judge in all of China. What a privilege. Yeah. It's people who will stand up. He didn't have the strength to do that. When you think about the ages of these people, the people we call the greatest generation, he was going to lose in that camp. He said there were 8 pilots from that group that were captured. 3 of them were killed by their captors during prisoner of war, and 1 died of starvation. So only 4 made it. What could possibly do it? Where do you get your strength from? He counted it a privilege to be able to be used to change the world. People, that's what we have been called to do. To change the world as we know it. To bring Jesus. Sometimes it's not very pleasant, but you have to go on a mission knowing where it's going to take you. These men knew. They weren't kamikaze pilots that were going to crash their planes into the buildings or the ships. They were men, though, that knew for such a time as this. People, this Christmas season, we need to realize that God doesn't give us light just so we can walk without limping. Jacob walked with limping and changed the world. Changed the religious world ever since. Remember, it was through Jacob that the nation of Israel comes. Everything changes. If you allow the light to come in, change will happen. And it's not religion as usual. It's not just about baptism and I feel good. People want James Brown religion. Yeah. I feel good, and I knew that I would now. Y'all know the song. I know Tom knows it. Yeah. That's what they want. Jesus doesn't just some days feel good, and other days are like Aaron's talking about. Aaron, you know why you're getting those cases? Because God trusts you. You know why the others aren't getting the cases? Maybe they don't know Jesus the way you do. See, you know Jesus on a personal level. You're the one who spent time wrestling with Jesus. Why could he bless the world through Jacob? Because Jacob had wrestled all night with Jesus. And when you get to know Jesus during those wrestling matches, he can trust you. It's your Isaac offering, so to speak. It was after Abraham raised the knife, that God said, now I know that I can trust you. It isn't during that anybody can serve him. You know, the other night, Dwayne said, I remember when you stood up and said you were going to get this truck. Look, anybody can serve God and praise God when, you know, you're getting a new truck for nothing. That's easy. But when you know you don't have the strength, you don't have the wisdom, you know it's not in you to get up and do what he's asked you to do, you know that in the innermost soul that you want to say, John Paul, they told me to not send you, but you don't do it. If you're going to affect change, you can't do what you want to do. You have to do what you have been called to do. The text we read Thursday night was from Joshua, I believe. It says, basically, I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. I have called you to do what I have told you to do. And if you do what you're told to do, I will empower you. I will, and Jesus has told us the same thing, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. That isn't the first time that was said. Joshua was told the same thing. Remain faithful, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remain faithful, and I will contend with those that contend with your children. Are you concerned about your children? Then get close to God. Because I'll tell you right now, you can't be with your children 24/7. But he can. This week, we had the privilege of praying with someone whose nine-year-old granddaughter said life wasn't worth living anymore. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? 9 years, I mean, what possibly could be so horrible in your life at 8 years old to make a statement like that? People, we have been sent to change. We don't need just a baptism in the Jordan. We need the baptism. What do you say to a parent or grandparent when they call and say, my child, my grandchild is thinking about taking their life? And we're not talking 17 or 18 years old. We're not talking about that. We're talking about 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds. You know, Aaron was telling me some of the youngest clients they get. I can't imagine. We grew up with Ward and June. These kids are growing up with Roseanne and the shoe salesman. I don't even remember his name. Yeah. The Osbournes. We grew up with Fred and Wilma. They're growing up with the Simpsons and Family Guy. We have been sent. Because Jesus says, and if you look around, people, yeah, was reading this week in the Gospels, one place where Jesus says, when this happens, this generation will not pass before the coming of the Lord. He was prophesying, not time prophecy. But then it hit me. It hadn't hit me before that. What he said about when this happens, this generation will not pass before I come. It happened in 1967. The event happened in 1967. And I went, wow, it's no more maybe Jesus can come in my lifetime. Now I'm saying, I either have to believe what people say, Jesus is coming again, or Jesus is coming again. And he wants us to tell it like we mean it. Change. Change is the same old story, but acting like you really believe it. I mean, it's good. It's good to walk with Jesus. And sometimes it's not that great because of what he's called you to do. Like Aaron got, you know, in the Navy SEALs training, they call it Hell Week. In most boot camps, you have Hell Week. In the Navy, it was called Service Week. Have no clue why they called it Service Week, but they did. And if you made it through that week, you pretty much made it through. And what we came to realize is, I don't care what Hell Week was like, nothing could prepare you. You had to get your strength from somewhere else, where this man who later, the same pilot, he became a missionary to Japan. And led to Jesus, one of the pilots that bombed Pearl Harbor. Now you think about that. From a young man on an aircraft carrier to 30 seconds over Tokyo to prisoner of war to leading one of the bombers of Pearl Harbor, the reason he was a prisoner of war, to Jesus Christ. That's a changed life. That's what God has called us to do. That's what this season is about. This season is about Christianity as never before. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, yeah, you can have your theological debates whether it's good to covet or not. But I'm coveting the baptism of the Spirit. You know, because that's what John said. He's saying, this is good. But let me tell you something. The man who's coming after me, wow. Yeah, nothing like it. The man who's coming after me will be able to get a prisoner of war to lead the man who caused him being a prisoner of war, lead him to Jesus Christ. That's change. That's change. Think about what God has called you to do, what God wants you to do. I don't know what he's calling you to do, but I know one thing. He didn't just create each one of us and form each one of us in our mother's wombs for nothing. He has a plan. And he says, I will bless you. I'm sure that gentleman, he was in the prisoner of war camp, and one of the men died of starvation. That tells you how much they were getting. And he said, one day there was someone who could speak Japanese fluently, and they received a letter from the Japanese emperor. And the Japanese emperor said, please accept my apologies. I had no idea they were treating you people the way they're treating you. We're going to see that you get better food. He said, and the food didn't get better, but he said, we began getting bread with our meals. He said, and then, he wasn't a Christian. He said, and then they gave us Bibles to read. And that's how he came to know Jesus, through a Bible in a prisoner of war camp. I don't know what you're going through, but I know one thing, God has a plan for you. And his plan isn't just to get you in the water, immersed and coming up. It's to get the dove to come down and empower you to lead and to do. Think about it. Think about it this holiday season. And I say holiday season because it's Hanukkah. It's Christmas. It's New Year's. This whole time from now to the end of the year, begin to pray this. God, 2012 is coming. I know you have a plan for me. And I know that your plan is not to destroy me, but to bless me and prosper me. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit so that your plan can be fulfilled. Because that's what it's all about, people. It's about his plan being fulfilled. That kind of change needs to be instituted. You have light, and I'm here to tell you, even light, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Even light you can't see can help you. If you don't believe that, just watch me walking. Hurt man walking. I don't know how, but I know it's true. And can you imagine a doctor telling you, point this light, and they turn it on, and you're going, what light? I know you can't see it, but it works. People, I know you won't be able to see it, but others will notice. Toby Mack, my prayer for everybody here is that Toby Mack's song, Jesus Freak, becomes true for all of us. And change takes place. And it has to start with light. And it moves on to change. And there are two more steps that we'll cover. But people, let's think about that. Pray about it. And as Aaron said, begin to pray the most dangerous prayer. God, whatever it takes. The little girl that we prayed for is doing much better. She's, I think, beginning to see. Because she said there were only two people in her life she could trust, and one of them died not too long ago. And it traumatized her. And so now I'm left with one. But she's seen. Change is taking place, and it's changed her mother in a miraculous way. Things people had been trying to get her mother to see for years. She couldn't see. But now she sees. I don't know why things happen the way they happen, but I trust the one who does know why. Change is taking place. Change is happening. Change is inevitable. Acceptance is optional. Let's bow our heads. Father, we sang the song this morning. How many kings? How many fathers? And as we saw the baby in the manger, Father, there's a song out that says, isn't this a strange way to save the world? Father, every time we look in the mirror, we need to say that. Isn't this a strange way you're using in us to change the communities we're in, to affect those we come in contact with? There are more qualified people, but you have chosen us to make the change. But it doesn't happen until we come into the light. The song that we sing so often, into the glorious light I'm coming. And then change takes place. And then it affects everyone we come in contact with. Accomplish it, Father. Because you've promised it through your prophet John. I have come to baptize with water, but he who comes after me will baptize with the Spirit and with power. Oh, Father, immerse us first into the baptism of repentance, and then lead us on into the baptism of the Spirit, so that your Son can be lifted up, so that your Spirit can be poured out without measure, and ultimately you can be glorified. Accomplish it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, and we receive it. Amen. Close up your umbrellas, people, because God says, when you bless, bless this way. The Lord bless and protect you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's another way of saying start living in the rain. And the Lord look with favor on you. And even when you get the toughest cases, Aaron, give you peace.